This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 is located, or the east side of New Orleans, where WAMF 90.3 is housed, or Greenville, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kabf.org. A podcast will be available to the show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're talking to Emil Medvedev in Sofia, Bulgaria. Emil is a new friend of mine who is the program director for Bulgaria of something called the Professional Fellows Program and also a staff member of SEGA, Creating Effective Grassroots Alternatives, C-E-G-A. Emil, welcome to Wade's World.
Hi, Wade. I'm pleased to meet you.
Okay, so we're in Sofia, Bulgaria. It's cold here.
Yeah, usually this time it's really cold. Now it's even warm, I would say.
I know, it's hardly freezing. You know, I saw a couple of snowflakes. I'm ready for the Arctic. I mean, when I left New Orleans, I thought, okay, better get every big jacket. I mean, Luba had warned me. So look, I'm here with you as part of a program where someone spent a month with me from your organization in New Orleans, and now I'm spending a week with you in Bulgaria. What is this Professional Fellows Program, and what does it mean to be a country director of this program?
Yep. The Professional Fellows Program, I should say, it's financed by the State Department, and it's a long-term program for SEGA Foundation. It started in 2012. And so far, we had like 7-8 delegations sent to United States. And as you mentioned, Luba, my colleague here in SEGA, she was spending a month with you. And to be a country director, it means to organize people and organize programs for the people, organize just.
And you get people to apply for this program.
Yes, it's an application process which is taking 2 months. People can easily apply online, and then a selection committee from the state are selecting the best candidates.
So you don't have to make all the decisions about who goes from Bulgaria.
I'm doing some small suggestion and recommendation, but the decision is not taken by SEGA or me.
So they get your input and you help sort of drive people to actually apply. If you run into people and say, hey, you might want to apply for this program, we take applications in spring or fall.
Yeah.
So you sort of herd people in and then sort of, you know, put your 2 cents in, and then somebody over in the U.S. Who decides in the U.S.? Is it nonprofit organizations, or is it, it's not the State Department, is it?
The State Department takes a huge role in it, but the program is led by WSOS community based in Ohio.
It's a community action agency in Toledo, Ohio, I believe.
Yes, correct.
This is community action agencies are historically anti-poverty programs in the U.S. that date back to the Office of Economic Opportunity in the 1960s. The Lyndon Johnson was the president, the war on poverty. So to see WSOS, a community action agency, involved in an international program was a little bit of a surprise. Who knows, huh?
Yeah, I believe this is because we have a great manager, Elizabeth Balint, who actually introduced this program to community action.
Gotcha. And you were part of the first delegation to do this program, I think you told me the other day.
Yeah, I was part of the program. I started the program in 2012. It was the first round.
And how did you hear about it, Emil?
It started through a partnership with SEGA. based on Elizabeth Balin's suggestion. So she was doing a research who may be the organization that can lead this process in Bulgaria, and they came to us. And I was invited to try the program. So I was one of the people who, let's say, improved the program for the future.
A pioneer, pioneer of this program. And where did you go in the United States?
I was in Chicago. I was with that time NPA, National People's Action.
National People's Action, right. It was a community-based organization, a lot of housing work. 2012, I'm trying to think who was running the organization then, but they had a very active, their national office was in Chicago.
I was with a mentor, James Mum.
James Mum, sure, I know James. What was the name of his group? Something First for a while, but he was also in New York, I think. He ran clergy and laity. I mean, I forget the name. All these organizations have different names. The mind goes. But, well, James Mum has been around for a while. That must have been an interesting experience.
Yes, yes. And he also connected me with his networks in Chicago. So I was going to several organizations like Northside Power, who then changed the name again, and so.
Right,
but I still follow them.
So. Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah.
Because they have a website or Facebook.
Yes.
Excellent. So then you came back here and spread the good word, and eventually they made you the country director, so to speak.
Yeah, it was funny because originally it was Luba who was country director.
Oh, my Luba.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know this. It all comes out on Wage World.
Yeah.
All the facts, okay.
But then we decided to switch, and I took over, so she was doing other stuff. So
She's always busy. So this is a couple of countries in Eastern Europe. It's not just Bulgaria.
Yeah, we have Slovakia, Romania, Hungary, and this year we added Albania.
These are countries a lot of American, well, Hungary's part of it too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you said that. Now, Hungary, people probably know a little bit about Hungary, but some of these other countries are not well known in the United States, are they?
Yeah, especially Bulgaria.
Especially Bulgaria, is that right?
And maybe Slovakia, I would say.
You know, it, obviously it used to be Czechoslovakia, so people probably think we've been to Prague, we've been to Czechoslovakia, but Slovakia is different. That's Bratislava and other cities. So I think that's probably, your point is probably correct, that there are a lot of people that have no idea where the frick Slovakia might be. Is there Slovenia?
Yes.
Now people are, in the United States, Emil, I should share with you, people are learning where Slovenia is because the First Lady in the White House is from Slovenia.
Right, yes.
Mrs. Trump. So, you know, and the Pope even knew what sweets. I mean, when the Pope visited, he said to Melania Trump, you know, something about feeding President Trump too many of the sweets from Slovenia. So the Pope knows stuff. I mean, the President of the United States, maybe not so much, but the Pope was on his game when he talked to Melania. We won't go there. We'll stay away from that here.
Okay,
that's just an aside that came in here. So, Emil, this last night, you and I were at a program you moderated where we had a lot of the alumni of the program. Quite a number of people have been through this program over the last 6 years then.
Yeah, for the whole countries we are operating, there are more than 180 fellows.
Okay.
And in Bulgaria, there are over 45. And last night, we had about 22.
Had a good representation, and people had done some interesting work. I really enjoyed some of the panelists talking about their work. One woman was talking about a very important lawsuit before the Supreme Court. Is it the Supreme Court?
Yes.
Is that what it's called here, too?
Yes,
we have a Supreme Court, too.
Yeah.
Seemed to be a key case about, was it civil unions?
Yes, between same
sex
couple.
Right. Yeah. And that's not legal at this point?
No, not at this point. So, this is their first effort, and it's a case that it's going now in Italy, in Hungary. Actually, in Hungary last night, they just accepted it. So it's
wow.
Marriages done in any EU country that legalize equal marriages can be accepted in Hungary.
So that's what the law is basically accepting marriages, civil union marriages from other states in that country?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That seems
yeah.
to be a simple thing.
Yeah.
But no, it's nothing
not
simple.
In, yeah, yeah. Not in Bulgaria yet, yes.
And I think the young woman had said she was a fellow with the Human Rights Campaign, which
yes.
is very, very well known in the United States. And in fact, the director of the program is from Arkansas. He's been in, I haven't interviewed him, but he's been on KABF, the Voice of the
okay.
People. Yeah, we have a long history in this area. The station has been on the air for 33 years, but we were off the air for about a year because we did the first programming for LGBT individuals as our community station, and people vandalized our transmitter oh. tower, and with a lot of slogans about
really?
You know, homos and whatnot, and blew out our transmitter. So we were off the air, had to come up with the money. You know, there's
yeah, yeah.
what people often don't understand, Emil, and you and I know this, there's a struggle involved in social change. This is not, hey, would you please do this? I mean, it's
yeah, that's
sometimes
true.
It's a fight. And that was in the, we went on the air about 1984, so that was probably 88 or so. So we're talking about, you know, almost 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Do the math quickly. Yeah, 30 years. So a lot of changes in 30 years. I mean, we still do that kind of programming here at KBF as a community station, non-commercial, but at least we don't have our transmitter blown away every oh. time we do it. So
yeah, that's good.
And,
but you have long history and appreciate, yes.
Yeah, long history. We were the first station to have Spanish language programming in Arkansas. We have 100, you know, it's 100,000 watt station, which is big as you can get. And the voice of the people, you know, we believe that, and I heard a lot of this last night on your program. I mean, if people are going to have a voice, they have to have the power to get that voice out there. So we organize these radio stations in order to give people a megaphone for them to get their issues out there.
Yeah, we should learn that. Like,
I'd love to work
this.
With you. Okay,
let's
now we're getting some ideas yeah. on wage world. We're talking to Emil, who is a staff member at SEGA. I love the name SEGA. It's about grassroots empowerment, which is part of what we talk about in the United States as well. And we're talking about the Fellows Program and what the experience has been. Let's talk more about SEGA and what work you do. Empowering grassroots. I love the fact that grassroots is in the name of the organization. There's probably a story there maybe you and I don't know, but what a great name.
Yeah. The foundation was established in 1995.
Okay.
And I joined the foundation in 2004. So people just who found the foundation just told me that grassroots is what made them to actually establish this foundation, and I would agree with that.
Now, in Bulgarian, how does that translate? Grassroots?
Yeah, grassroots, it's very difficult to translate,
yeah,
but it's more like about citizens.
Well, that sounds fine,
sounds
too.
Sounds fine, too, but like to be specific, we just wanted to have something like local representing.
Right.
But we cannot express this in Bulgarian, like it sounds very strange. But grassroots is really, yeah, what we wanted to have.
So tell us what kind of work you do in the grassroots, empowering people.
Yes, I started a small program here in SEGA Foundation, and the focus was on Roma issue, Roma minority in Bulgaria, which are about 10% from the total population of Bulgaria, which is 7 million, so about 800,000
yeah. yeah, to a million, okay.
Yeah.
Let's explain to people what Roma are, because I don't know that everybody who's
yeah.
listening has a clear view of this.
Yes, I think in United States people used to call Roma gypsy.
Oh, okay.
But in Europe, it's we call ourselves Roma. That's in our Romani language means a person, a man.
Ah, okay.
Yes, so that's why we call ourselves
Roma. And there's a
Roma.
Long, long history of the Roma people.
Yeah, since 10th century.
Originally, I believe, from India.
Yes, yes. Well, there are two, maybe three different versions, but... But India,
the one that's yes, becoming the most, one, yes. where consensus is built.
Yes,
I've read some
yes.
history, so there are lots of different interpretations, but most people seem to agree that it's part of a migratory pattern from, I think, northern India.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But in Europe for 1,000 years.
Exactly, yes.
And mainly in Eastern Europe, the Roma people?
Yes, mainly in Eastern Europe. Bulgaria, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, yes.
Now, Romania, is that derived from the name Roma?
They have an issue with this name. Like
we're
Romania,
just stumbling on one issue after another, aren't we?
Like,
that's the way it is
yes.
on Wade's World, brother. Okay.
Romania is a country.
Yes.
And the people living there called, born there, Romanians. But it's different from Roma.
Okay.
But you see Romanians, Roma, what? It makes confuses.
But there's a significant Roma population in Romania, is there not?
Yes, like 2 million and more.
I was about to say it's
yes.
larger than Bulgaria,
larger than Bulgaria,
I believe.
Yes, yes.
So, but there's a Roma, I mean... Years ago, we had a group of organizers that went to Turkey, and we visited several Roma communities. So there's not an insignificant Roma population in Turkey, in Istanbul as well.
Yeah, there are.
So you'll find this population throughout this whole part of the world, I think.
Yes, yes.
But we're talking about Sega's work, so this has been a more, this has been a community that has faced significant discrimination in Bulgaria over the years.
Yes, yes. And that's why we started with exploring what we actually can do together with that community particularly. And I started a small program called Seed Fund. And the main idea was to go around the country and find young people who are interested to make changes. And through like 7 years of deep work, we've got over 100 initiative groups. And our main idea was at the beginning just to talk to people, to make groups, nothing just like an organization established, mm-hmm. but just group of people who can make changes. And then we came to the idea, let's make them organization, and then they should solve their own problems, because nobody would be able to come every time and
sure,
solve problems.
Sure, you so, can't support that from Sofia.
Yes, yes.
So an initiative group is like a campaign or like an organizing committee or?
More like organizing committee.
Okay.
Like a group of young people,
10, 15, 20.
Okay. Yeah. And they do small things, but they are making like rebuilding the park or asking the municipality to put bins in their communities, because maybe we didn't say, but most of the Roma communities are living in a very outskirts of the towns, in most cases, a bit of segregated most of the time, although there are some mixed communities, but a lot of struggles, and the issues are complex, and it's not one, but it's like connected with others and others and others. But we start with small things.
Exactly. And when we say young people, we're talking about, we're not talking just about teenagers at this point. We're talking about people who are young adults or in their 30s.
Yes, yes, okay. yes.
Because that's often a misunderstanding in the U.S. They say young people and they think, oh, you know, 12, 13 years old.
No, but no.
Most of the world, when we talk about youth, we're talking about less than 40 years old.
Yes.
So this is obviously new leadership that's going to be critical in leading these communities over time.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I heard you speaking about the other day when we were at some meetings, Emil, is that there's also been a large history of segregated education that blocked Roma young men and women from being able to go to secondary school. Is that what I heard?
Yes. Most of the communities, the Roma communities, they have nearby schools. They're occupied by Roma. Ones naturally, then the others are more like, okay, too many Roma, let's take our Bulgarian children out of here so we don't stay in that school. And of course that makes the education is getting low and teachers don't pay attention too much. It's just the quality of education is different level than other mainstream schools.
Because in some ways the notion of how far you could rise out of that schools is cut off, isn't it? It's
yes.
More like in the U.S. we would see this is a neighborhood school maybe, but then the same problem happens in many United States urban areas where African Americans or Latinos all of a sudden become a vast majority of the schools, and all of a sudden you turn around and it's resegregated.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of what you're saying, but the difference is if the educational content isn't the same in Bulgaria, you're blocked from being able to go to secondary school, I think is what I was hearing, or
yes.
High school, as we would call it in the U.S.
Yes, when you study in such schools, you don't get enough skills and knowledge to continue. Or you go next level, and then you see yourself like, okay, I don't belong here.
Too far behind.
I cannot do it. And that's how students drop out. And then a lot of organizations are working to improve the education, but still we have, I think, 60 schools.
I think that's what I heard. It was 142,
yeah.
And now it's still 60. So it's still, there's a long way. Now, we're talking to Emil with SEGA and with the Fellows Program here in Bulgaria. Today on Wage World. Now, Emil, you and I and some others visited a interesting community center yesterday in one of the, was this a lower income area? You were whispering to me at a program last night where we were was the ghetto of Sofia.
Yeah.
Although it seemed to be this is what I know. I know a lot about slums and ghettos. It seemed to be a pretty nice neighborhood where we were.
Yeah, we were in the biggest Roma community in Bulgaria.
Okay.
It's in Sofia, called Fakulteta. And
Fakulteta.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's about 50,000 people living there. We were just on the very main street, which a road goes to other cities.
Okay.
We just didn't enter inside. But yes, I would say it's not a ghetto like a ghetto you would imagine.
Like you might have seen in Chicago, for example.
For example, but still there are houses that are not in good conditions.
Sure.
And the streets are very narrow, kind of like in Italy, you know.
Well, and I think some people who we talked to said some of the streets were unpaved or at least
yes.
needed repairs. And that's also common for neighborhoods where ACORN is organized all around the world. So none of that's too shocking. And what were they trying to do in that community center? Was that a state project or?
The community center is led by a doctor, a medical person, and she has several centers around Bulgaria. But the one we visited was really built newly. One, like last year, it's more about educating people in health and just more on health production, sexual reproduction, and like simple things in the community. But
well, I know we talked to a young woman who seemed to be dealing with refugees a lot as well.
Yeah.
At least that was the program she was trying to build. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we talked to Diana, who is a fellow of the program, and her previous job was working with refugees, but now her work is in that center, and the main idea of her work is to establish program or systematically some programs that can attract the Roma community in the neighborhood, come and visit and raise the level of education, also just development, personal development. And she's working with young people from 11 to over 20. And she has the task to organize such program that can attract.
Well, she was very energetic. So, yes. You know, if anybody can do that, I think Deanna had a shot at it. It was hard to understand what the center did, but you could tell she was going to make something happen.
Yes, yes.
So what's it like? I mean, Bulgaria was part of the former Eastern Bloc and obviously is part of the European Union now. How hard is it and we're talking about change, how hard is it to imagine change happening in Bulgaria? Is this a difficult process or?
Yes, we are speaking about change 20 years, even 25 maybe. And still we don't see the change. Or I would say those who are very much involved in the making changes, they don't see it, including myself, I would say. But there are improvements, but not the change we are imagining.
We still have work to do, yes, is what you're saying. Yes, but that's true everywhere. But I was interested yesterday. I heard that the open records law, freedom of information law, is actually very good in Bulgaria.
Mm.
I mean, I was speaking with Luba, as we talked about earlier, with the anti-corruption fund, and they were saying there's a good law here. So it may be hard to make change, but if there's a good law there, it's going to be hard to hide some of this stuff too, isn't it, Emil?
Yes, that's true.
I wonder if everybody knows this law is so good.
No, on paper we are really good. Bulgaria has over 100 documents regarding human rights, regarding protection of rights. I did once 42 documents that are related to Roma. On paper, they're absolutely amazing.
Couldn't ask for better on paper, huh?
Yes, but on implementation, it's all not good at all. Like, you cannot imagine what is envisaged and what actually is done.
So that's an interesting problem. So yeah. We should actually, you know, produce a small handbook of all the laws that are supposed to cover you so that every Roman, could hide behind the paper and say, do this. We should start special classes like that, Emil. Maybe Sega could take that on because
that's an idea.
And that's true. I mean, we work in Mexico and other countries where if you read labor rights, you think, oh my God, workers have every right in the world here, yet nobody's making a dime of money. You know, it's sort of 10 pesos to a dollar. I mean, you just can't make it work. But that's interesting. So the laws are good. It's just the implementation and enforcement is not happening.
Yes.
Emil, we're coming, unfortunately, this has been an interesting conversation. We could go for hours and teach people all about what's happening. I'd learn stuff too. But so if people want to find out more about Bulgaria, more about this fellows program, if they're interested in helping in the U.S., or more about SEGA, if people were able to support SEGA and its work, how would they get in touch with you or SEGA? Tell people how to do that.
Yeah, we are, of course, on social media. We have, SEGA has its website. It's very easy. It's www.sega.bg.
And that's
C-E-G-A.
Yeah, because it's not, this is not in Bulgarian. This is English. SEGA.
Yes.
C-E-G-A.B-G. B-G, not
yes.
B-U.
B-G.
B-G.
Yes, for Bulgaria. Yes.
Exactly.
And you can find information there. We have connected our Facebook page in the website, but also we are having the professional program website, which is a bit hard to find probably, but you just simply write GLC Teach Democracy and the website is gonna pop up.
GLC Teach Democracy. I think GLC stands for Great Lakes Consortium, I believe. GLC thinkingdemocracy.org, I assume.
Yes.
And you could find out more and talk to Elizabeth, who we are big fans of Elizabeth, and she helped make this program work. Thank you so much, Emil. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World.